And now Pastor Phillips with his message for today.
If you haven't noticed who I am, Susan always introduced me like as if I'm new here.
New today.
Anyway, my name is Phillips, and if you haven't noticed, the meaning of the name is the horse lover. That's what it means. But I don't like horses. Anyway, that's my name. American missionary that I met while I was in college given this name, and that's a name that I am stuck with. So whether or not I like it, I'm Phillips. I am so happy to see you all in here worshiping together, and I love seeing you all on Zoom, and I pray that we will have a special visit from the Holy Spirit wherever you are. And as we open our hearts unto the Lord, we'll get to listen to the message that God has prepared for each and every one of us for our spiritual nourishment. An American tourist went on a Mediterranean cruise, eager to soak in the history, the scenery, and especially the food. At his first dinner, he found himself seated across from a distinguished Frenchman. The Frenchman smiled politely, raised his wine glass, and said, "Bon appétit." The American, who did not know a word of French, assumed the man was introducing himself. So he smiled back, stuck out his hand, and said, "Johnson." The Frenchman, who didn't speak English, looked slightly confused, but shook his hand politely. Following the brief introduction, they ate their entire meal in complete and awkward silence. After dinner, the waiter pulled the American aside and explained, "Sir, bon appétit, tea, bon appétit, just means enjoy your meal. It's not his name." The American was mortified. Next evening, determined to fix things, he found the same Frenchman and sat across him again. This time, he confidently raised his glass and said, "Bon appétit, bon appétit." The Frenchman beamed, raised his glass in return, and said, "Johnson." You expected that. Miscommunication is all too common. It happens not only between people who speak different languages, but also among those who speak the same language. It even happens to families and friends who are so close and know each other so well. But there is no miscommunication between God and the believers. God knows everything about what they think and what they need. So when we come to God, we do not have to try so hard to explain what is going on in our lives. We do not have to worry about whether God understands our prayers. We do not need to pretend to be someone we are not. All we have to do is to be honest and have a heart-to-heart conversation with God. Today, we are going to reflect on the significance of having a heart-to-heart conversation with God. First, let us look closely at the Word of God. We are very familiar with this teaching on prayer. It's one big part of the Sermon on the Mount. It includes the Lord's Prayer, but we just skip it because you are all familiar with it. Yet we may not have considered the whole teaching on prayer from the perspective we will focus on this morning. The first part of Jesus' lesson on prayer is the warning against hypocrisy. Who is a hypocrite? Someone who holds a double standard, pretend to be greater than he is, and whose heart is at odds with his actions. But can someone be hypocritical in prayer? There's no need for it because God knows everything about us. It is surprising to that to see that some people can be, though. Jesus was very critical of religious leaders, such as the scribes and Pharisees, who were hypocritical. They prayed in public to display their righteousness and to be recognized and honored by people. Their true intention in praying was to show off their religiosity rather than to talk to God. Consequently, what they prayed for was far from their true heart. Jesus called this kind of superficial prayer, detached from the heart, babbling. In verse 7, Jesus explains what babbling is. Let me quote the King James Version, which offers a more accurate translation of the original Greek in this verse. Jesus said, "When ye pray, you use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Repetition has long been used to emphasize something. Why do they have a vain repetition in prayer? Chapter 18 of Luke explains that. There Jesus gave a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. A Pharisee was praying in the temple. "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." On the other hand, the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We see a vain repetition in the Pharisee's prayer. "Lord, I'm better than thieves. I'm better than dishonest people. I'm better than adulterers. I'm even better than this tax collector." He then mentioned how good he was at fasting and tithing. The Pharisee repeated vain words to make his prayer unnecessarily long and to promote his hypocritical righteousness. His prayer was more formal, better structured, and more eloquent than the tax collector's, reflecting his religious practices. His prayer would have impressed many people. But in reality, Jesus knew his hypocrisy and did not listen to his prayer. In the end, all his efforts to justify himself with babbling prayer was in vain. Jesus concluded that the tax collector went home justified rather than the Pharisee, even though the tax collector's prayer was short and simple. "Have mercy on me, a sinner," the tax collector prayed. Hypocrisy, babbling, and vain repetition all points to prayers detached from the heart. This kind of prayer does not get God's attention. But the kind of prayer that the tax collector offered, which was genuine and truthful, does. Actually, the prayer confession, "I am a sinner, have mercy on me," is the most truthful prayer one can offer. Now, let's turn to Jesus' teaching on how one should pray. Verse 6, "Whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who is in secret will reward you." In other words, Jesus wants us to pray in a private, secret environment alone with God. And Jesus set an example of this kind of prayer. In Luke 6, Jesus went to a mountain which assured him of privacy and secrecy and spent the night praying the day before he chose 12 disciples. In Luke 9, Jesus was praying alone before he disclosed his true identity as the Messiah. In the famous scene at Gethsemane, even though Jesus went there with 3 disciples, he kept his distance from them and prayed alone. Why is praying alone significant? We do not have to worry about whether people will hear what we say in prayer. Our prayers do not need to be formal. We can be as honest as we can be and simply pour out our hearts to the Lord. In other words, we can have a heart-to-heart conversation with God in such a private setting. We can read the rest of Jesus' teaching on prayer through the same lens. The Lord's Prayer, we always say, can become a vain repetition if we recite it without truly putting our hearts into it. Verse 14 speaks to the result of such repetition. If we say the Lord's Prayer without intention to forgive others, the prayer has no effect in receiving forgiveness for our sins. The same principle applies to fasting as well. Fasting is our honest plea to the Lord, and our heart should be pure. Jesus said, "When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face." It sounds almost like camouflage. Why this extreme measure? By keeping fasting secret from people, we can best offer our true hearts and our desire to the Lord without interruption. If you look at Jesus' lesson on prayer and fasting from verse 5 through verse 18, Jesus' lesson repeatedly emphasizes the importance of an unpretentious heart toward the Lord. We parents love our children and want to have an honest conversation with them, but they are busy with their lives and do not have time to spend with us. Even though they do sometimes, their hearts are closed. They say what they want and do not listen to us. The same is true of our relationship with God. God loves us, His children, and wants to have a heart-to-heart conversation with us, but we do not have time for it. And when we do, we do not open our hearts to Him as we should. You know, we may say, oh, we pray always, and then we say the Lord's Prayer always. The point is, do we say the Lord's Prayer with our hearts fully engaged? Do we say it and make it a heart-to-heart conversation with God? Some unknown author explained how to pray the Lord's Prayer and truly mean it as follows. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor each day to act like His child. I cannot say, who art in heaven, if I am laying up no treasure there. I cannot say, hallowed be thy name, if I am not striving for holiness. I cannot say, thy kingdom come, if I am not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful event. I cannot say, thy will be done, if I am dishonest to His word. I cannot say, on earth as it is in heaven, if I will not serve Him here and now. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread if I am dishonest or am seeking things by deception. I cannot say, forgive our debts if I harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in his path. I cannot say, deliver us from evil if I do not put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom if I do not give the king the loyalty due him from a faithful subject. I cannot attribute to him the power if I fear what men may do. I cannot ascribe to him the glory if I am seeking honor only for myself. And I cannot say forever if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by time. As parents know what children need, our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ask. With that in mind, there is no need for us to be pretentious. We just need to open our hearts to God and honestly share what is in them. Our Heavenly Father wants to have a heart-to-heart conversation with his children, just as parents do. Let us set aside time and place to be alone with God, to have a private, honest conversation with him, pouring our hearts to him and listening to what he truly wants from us. God gives his full attention and readily answers our prayers when we pray with genuine hearts. Amen.